Welcome to The Dreaming Machine. This is Joe and I'm with Amy. Say hi, Amy.
Hi, everyone.
So we did the guide to newbies about The Wondrous World of Hilda on Netflix. And this episode is our season one review.
It's good. You should watch it.
So unlike our primer guide episode before, which is spoiler free, this podcast will be going through each episode in turn of season one, 13 episodes in total.
Deep dive,
for sure. So hopefully you've enjoyed The Wondrous World of Hilda, which I'm now calling it for some reason. But in case you haven't, or you haven't quite seen all of it, there are spoilers, because we'll just openly be talking about the episodes and our favourite bits and what we thought of it, really.
So without further ado, chapter one, The Hidden People.
It already has an intriguing title. So the little recap is like that they're living in the wilderness. Like this is their environment. We get to see Hilda like experience the, you know, fantastical, like beautiful sights of where she's based.
It's very cottage core, their whole living setup.
Cottage hardcore for sure. And there's a little, he's got a cold open with a bit of excitement with the chase with the troll and everything, which works quite well, I think.
Yeah, I have to say, I absolutely get Hilda in the intro here. So the bit where she sits down, she finds the troll rock and she wants to get it just right with her sketches of it. I do a bunch of art and I know what it's like wanting to just get that last bit of sunlight to get the sketch right.
No, for sure. Like even with the threat of trolls.
Oh, and the way she ties a bell to the troll, I'm sure that won't be super relevant at some point in the future.
Very much so. I mean, that works really well, doesn't it? And like, it's very relatable. But there's one line I quite liked in the opening too. Which is, well, that was pretty traumatic, but such is the life of an adventurer. I think that sums up her character, like, really well.
That is so Hilda. That is one of the most Hilda things. It's such a throwaway thing early on, but then later on, like, you start to realise this is really, yeah... Just the way that the kinds of adventures she gets into, like she has a certain tolerance for it that I don't think anyone else she pulls in with her has. Except maybe Frida.
Yeah, and anyone like with a sense of their own safety and rationality. So, but that is kind of who you want in the main lead, I think, to drive the story forward and like encounter these adventures.
But the show is very good at making a point of how this is something that is going to cause a lot of stress for a lot of people, and it's keen not to pull punches in that regard.
For sure, and we're introduced to some important other characters quite early on as well. I think.
I mean, early on, you've got it setting up Hilda and her mother, and of course Twig, but you also have the Woodman, who just keeps showing up at their house.
I mean, what I love about his introduction is the contrasting reactions of Hilda and her mother, like Johanna. So Hilda defends him, and her mother says, "No, he's just rude. He just barges in whenever he wants, and isn't grateful for anything." I just thought it was quite sweet that different reactions to it.
I also love how a lot of the time when it comes to these kinds of interactions, like Woodman is just completely aware that Joanna's absolutely right. And like Hilda will try and defend him on things and then it's like, oh no, I'm totally doing the bad thing here.
And the kind of the voice works great. I mean, obviously, Woodman's voice is loquacious, like laid back, determined stat, yet somehow determined with his own way kind of thing.
I love how the voice works for his personality so well.
What I hadn't quite remembered, though, until I rewatched the series in advance of recording this, was how good her mother, Johanna's voice acting is.
She's superb. Johanna's... She's one of the best characters in the show, which is good because their relationship dynamic is a lot of what drives a lot of like the plot, especially later on,
yeah,
but also early here when it's just the two of them living together.
Yeah, definitely. It's very distinctive a voice, and she's got very well-rounded like personality, and the dynamic between them, as you say, is fantastic. And it's not like conflict for the sake of it. Like they have a good relationship, but it's like,
no, where there's conflict, it makes sense.
Yeah,
as part of how their personalities clash.
Yeah,
even as they have such a good relationship.
Yeah, and that makes it a lot easier to watch, I think, than other things I've seen, where it seems like conflict against maybe character motivations or more for the to drive the plot forward. I mean, it obviously is to drive the plot forward, but it's just done very seamlessly and believably weirdly for a yeah. show with trolls in it. And we also like fairly soon learn about these small creatures.
People, I think they're people.
Yeah, like, I should be more respectful. I should be more respectful, shouldn't I?
Elves are people too.
Like leaving, you know, increasingly less polite and more strongly worded letters that are adorably tiny on the doorstep, which is a nice little touch, I thought.
Yeah, the elves are quite uncomfortable with their presence there in the woods.
I mean, what I quite like about this storyline is the shift from seeing it just through Hilda's perspective to eventually seeing it from their perspective too over the opening couple of episodes.
Yeah. But we'll get to that.
Yeah. I love this little... I'll just look at the notes I made about it. Like, the house being attacked. Sorry, total random aside note I wrote was Dragon Panic needs to be an actual board game. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Yes. Now, I have noticed they have incorporated some actual board games I'm aware of into the show. Later on, there's a bit where Joanna tries to play a game with Hilda that is clearly, it's clearly based on Caverna, which is a really good game. So I wouldn't be surprised if some more of these games are actual real board games, just with fictionalized names.
That makes sense. I could get behind that. I mean, I'd love to know, it does seem to have a Catan, a Carcassonne style layout, so maybe that's true. But yeah, the house being attacked, so and the mum, then the mother then talking about, you know, in the city we could find proper friends, and like Hilda pushing back against that immediately sets in motion quite a major story arc, like quite early on. I thought that was quite well done, like in quite a few short scenes, like setting up that whole story in motion, really.
Yeah. See, I find Joanna a bunch more relatable because, like, I had a childhood that had a lot of Hilda-esque experience living out in the countryside.
Mm.
But also, like, I became fully aware that all the things that I really enjoy and that are really sort of helpful to me are all found in cities. Which with Joanna, it's very much stuff like actually finding work and stuff. It's certainly got to be annoying when you are. She's what, a graphic designer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which incidentally I studied at college.
So you find that quite relatable then?
As someone who does art stuff, it is a lot handier being in a city just for getting all the supplies you work with.
Practical as ever. Yeah, I mean, and also, like, I had lots of sympathy. I mean, well, this is a future thing, but, like, the town of Trollburg is so fantastical from our point of view. Like, it didn't seem like that major a loss. But...
I mean, for Hilda, that is going to be a much bigger shift.
Yeah, for sure. And they established that quite well. Another important character we link up with is Alpha.
Yep. Once Hilda signs the necessary paperwork. I love that whole touch with the elves.
So in my work, I have lots of like contracts and things like that to do. So I'm like, very much related to a lot of his character.
Oh, Alpha's your most relatable character.
yeah, I mean, not spirit animal, because, like, you know, he's a person, as you correctly say. But
as I say, he's your most relatable character, like John is for me.
Yeah, for sure. And it was just like little touches I love about their society, like the whole politics side of things, like in a very gentle, enjoyable way, like having a prime minister who made a promise to get rid of this big obstructive house and having to keep that promise to the voters, but not really caring about it. Yeah, it's just like not in a really cynical, like just a gently cynical comedic way, you know, just throwing that in there, those little touches, I think works quite well. And then an asset in motion, you know, having to go even higher really to find the king.
Literally going even higher.
Very good. And which is great that, yeah, and you see Alpha like trying to help her with this, and that's great. So then a smoothly moves us onto, well, part two of the same story, really.
Yeah, the Midnight Giant.
Mm.
So we go from very small problems to rather large ones.
Yeah, although my notes, writing down knittins are adorable, isn't like my deepest note on an episode, I must admit. Like, that's the first note I made on the episode.
I mean, the first thing I wanted to talk about was the knittins. The knittins themselves don't show up till a bit later, don't they? It's because it's just the cat initially. Just the king's cat.
I wrote it down for episode two, but maybe I misnoted, to be fair. I think I was just so excited about the knittins as a concept. Like, I wrote it down very eagerly.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. I love the concept that you just have, like, the elves have their own little cats. And, yeah, when the king's cat hides in Hilda's hair, it just has a bunch of babies. It's adorable.
And so, like, Hilda, like, meets this, like, a giant, as very clearly indicated by the episode title. But I think, like, obviously the elves are like a big, and the trolls, we've had some running with creatures, but I think this is the first time where there's like kind of a one-off like major character just for that episode. And that becomes like a bit of a template for some of the later episodes. And so like they do a good job with having this encounter, but also giving an enjoyable backstory and some depth to like what's happening with that character, I think.
I think it's actually a little sad that we don't see the giants again after this one, because with a lot of the other side characters, they do end up returning in subsequent ones.
Mm. That's true, actually. We don't really see the giant later on, do we? Not properly.
Whereas just about everyone else, we do.
Mm. We do have another giant running later on that works well.
Yep.
But yeah, that is a different thing, to be fair. And so they and alongside this, like Hilda and Johanna like visit Trollberg, and so we get that first like experience of that.
And how much Hilda hates it.
Yeah, for sure. And so you can see that's bubbling up a bit. One line I noted down, because the woodman, we get a bit more woodman time in this, which is great. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite lines was Hilda saying, but he's like part of our family, and then the woodman saying, no I'm not. Even he's saying no he isn't.
Yeah, this is what I mean about him. He's just like, he just dispels all romantic notions Hilda has. Such a good character.
But then he explains about the giants and advances that part of the plot. And then alongside this, we have the Elf King as well. And I love how the different storylines all converge on each other.
Yeah. Hilda manages to resolve the elf issue just in time for the giant issue to also neatly wrap up and resolve itself. And then the show decides to do its first example of what it gets quite good at, with just straight in the fields.
You mean in terms of the giants and love interest, basically?
I mean the next thing that happens.
Okay.
So the giants stomp on the house just as they're walking off. And
yeah.
Hilda's just hit with the realization as she sees Joanna standing there, not even noticing the elf house she's standing in.
Yeah, that's really well done, isn't it? It's quite sweet how Hilda comforts her mother, like reassures her a little bit that it'll be okay. Even though, like, almost everything's been destroyed. But it's quite neat and quite sweet how that was done, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought this was really well done. Great double header to get us into it.
Yeah. Nicely resolved stuff and brings us into chapter 3.
The Bird Parade.
Is that the first time we get the full version of the show's intro as well?
I think the intro's in earlier, but it starts to like jump straight into the intro without the cold opens, I think, if I remember correctly.
As I recall, they like edited it slightly differently before and after.
I think it's probably my kids clicking the skip credits button. That's why I haven't noticed this, but okay.
Oh, don't skip the intro. The music's fantastic. You should know that.
Oh, I've had, this is a rerun of a conversation I've had in my household, for sure. There's a couple of times I've made them go back and play the intro just for my benefit, but for sure.
So yeah, so chapter 3, so Hilda's trying to make friends, and the Chorper kids introduce her to the local pastime, which is apparently animal abuse.
Yeah, those kids are horrendous, aren't they?
What is it with kids in Trollberg?
I mean, when I first saw it, because of the cottagecore you reference and the kind of sweet, gentle nature, albeit, you know, with destruction and, giants is something at home, all that kind of stuff. But, like, I wasn't necessarily expecting, it took me by surprise that, they do have kids that are naughty. I know that sounds weird, like... And they do have like very relatable like issues like that kind of thing.
Naughty kids will be a plot point in season 2, but we'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they go too far with that kid. Like, he's just an absolute monster.
I like the fact that this kid in this one kid in this episode is the only other one who can hear the bird talking.
That's quite effective, isn't it? And you can understand his frustration to an extent. I mean, that's quite funny.
So yeah, they save. So Hilda ends up saving this bird that they're tormenting, who's not in a good way.
No, I mean, I'm trying to think. What were my thoughts about the bird? I mean, as much as I love the voice acting, his voice surprised me very much. Like, I wasn't expecting that kind of American accent. Like, I wouldn't say it's quite Boston. It was just the accent surprised me a little bit on his character.
There's quite a diversity of accents in the show. Like, you have characters with all the very, like, you have the very English ones, but then you also have like characters like Kaiser, who shows up later on, where, like, that's more the sort of accent you'd expect in this kind of setting.
Yeah.
And then conversely, you have the odd ones where it's really leaning more on the, like, yeah, on the American side of things.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, with Amnesia plotline, it makes it quite easy to. Mm-hmm. Like, suck you in and work out, you know, what the heck's going on.
Oh, when Hilda, like, brings the bird home, and then Joanna does what a parent would normally do when they find their kids just brought a wild animal into the house.
I mean, what I love as well is, like, as a viewer, you think, oh, how can you put that bird outside? And it's just kind of like, it's a snapshot into how difficult it would be to be in that situation where that's the wrong thing to do and you should let these creatures come into your house and do all this kind of stuff. I mean, that's a rational way of thinking about it, Amy, as you say.
Oh, one more thought on the kids. I do think these kinds of attitudes, the way those kids were behaving, probably explains the kind of adults that some of them probably grow into. I'm thinking about some of the adults in the town from later in this season and from the next one. There are certain ones who have a certain fondness for really tormenting, other natural creatures.
Yeah, and the whole town like has a wall around it designed to keep creatures out. So it's in the whole ethos of the town, arguably.
Yeah, it says a lot there, I think, about societies.
Yeah. So once again, it's these little small moments hinting at bigger things, but without bludgeoning you or being like really haphazardly done. I think it's a testament to the show.
And then we have everything working towards the big reveal at the end, where we also get a really lovely scene between Hilda and her mother.
I mean, I love the best scenes in this show are with Hilda and the mother, but just them sitting on that wall and like
Watching the parade.
a almost in slow motion and having a real heart to heart is like is great, isn't it?
And Hilda realizes that she can have those adventures in Trollberg.
And total random aside, is it weird I want some of these traditions to be like real things? Maybe we have too many traditions. Like,
Ha.
we've got a bird parade. I mean, why don't we do it?
I mean, there are loads of places that have stuff like this. I think our problem is living somewhere boring.
Right. It's a big say. Yeah. I don't know what to make of that. We live in a wondrous world. If we had Hilda's attitude, we see. I did. I'll say something. I'm going to say something cliched, so I'll stop. So that takes us nicely onto the Sparrow Scouts.
Hands up if you were in an organization like this as a kid.
Well, no one can see our hands, but yeah, me too. I remember we played a lot of football. We did do some camping stuff, I remember.
Yeah, I did a bunch of camping. My mother was a guide leader,
Oh
so
really? Wow.
yeah.
Do you know you're not? And did you have to do the pledge and all that kind of things?
I've probably forgotten more stuff from then than I can remember. But I was big on the collecting badges aspect of it, which of course, yeah, Hilda's introduced to that, and that's going to be a plot point that sets up a lot of the plot lines going forward. And we also get reacquainted, properly acquainted this time, with a couple of the kids Hilda met on her initial visit to Trollberg.
Yeah, and I've only had a very brief experience with the comic, but I understand that for the show, these Frieda and David were picked out to be like expanded, like for the TV show, like made much more major characters.
And it works really well.
Yeah, and each got such distinct personalities of. I think, as we said in the primer, like David's fear and down to earth like reaction is very relatable. But also Frida going after the badges, like her cleverness and organization and planning, all that kind of thing. They're very distinctly well-drawn characters, and that's why you get quite a lot of these shows where you get like three characters like bunched together because they play off each other so well, like going through these adventures together.
And I like that later they expand on those characters' traits and flesh them out more and round them more. They don't just remain completely static and sort of defined by the traits established for them early on.
Yeah, for sure. What I like about a lot of these plot lines is it revolves around something very mundane, like getting, it's getting a scout badge, making a park prettier. That's how we get in motion. The literally removing weeds and things like that, and that then they run into, is it called the feature? Is that the
All I can think of them is just the little onion head people.
onion head people? That's cool. Is it just a nice little adventure to like get those dynamics in motion, I think.
But it also, when you look back on it, sets up a bunch of stuff that later on becomes relevant. And they do this a lot with every single episode. They keep introducing things that will show up later and be more relevant to the plot, like the tunnels here
Yeah.
that the little onion head people use.
And I noticed there's a lot more on my rewatch of the show. I mean, this might just be my reflection of me as a dozy viewer, but yeah, it's a lot of it's very subtle and clever as well.
There's a lot of stuff that they plant that then doesn't bloom until a bit later on.
Yeah, and I don't think I gave the show enough credit on my first watch. Like, I thought of it kind of disconnected stories, really. And I only noticed that it tied together a lot more cohesively in season one, like on my rewatch. Like, so yeah, I think that's a very fair point for sure. I mean, one of the big things from this episode was the brutality of the mulching machine for me.
Oof, oof, yeah.
I mean, I was terrified seeing Hilda run up there and nearly get sucked into these. I mean, that's what I kind of mean about
Oh, the so
Yeah.
as an aside, I play the Hitman games a bunch. They're really fun.
Yeah.
But there's one level where you get so used to like knocking people out and hiding their bodies in like boxes and things. And you see the like prompt for hiding a body in something on one of these missions, and you're like, oh, I've just knocked this person out and taken a disguise. You pick them up and you push it the minute. And that's when it dawns on you that you just put them in a wood chipper. And exactly what you expect happens with them. You just suddenly get the pop-up non-target killed, and you're like, oh.
My goodness me.
And yeah, that's what this made me think of.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully that would be reserved for a director's cut edition or just he doesn't get to that
Oof.
brutal level, but my God, yeah.
I mean, season two, Hilda arguably does start getting to that level.
So I mean, it wasn't my favorite episode, but it was still fun. It was good. I guess it just sets up the dynamics nicely, I think. But I think it gets a bit more engrossing later on, I'd say.
Although it does have one little thing at the end of the episode when all of the kids go back home and David goes to bed, there's something in his room.
And this sets up what is one of my favorite episodes of the series, episode 5, the Troll Rock. So this, I'm not sure if it is my absolute favorite, but it's at least one of my favorites.
You like it 'cause we see the knittens again, don't you?
Yes, of course. I think there's just so many brilliant elements in this episode. So I love like the really naff like town like I love how so she's going to school, which I love first because like, her personality and free spirit is being confined within the school, I think works really effectively.
You get a real scene with like her and like people at the school that just reminds me of her and the teacher characters. That just reminds me of the opening to the Owl House.
Yeah.
You have that whole bit where you've got her and her mother in the office, and like she's trying to defend herself, and Joanna's trying to explain her, and so relatable.
It's really relatable. Everyone's been to those like parent-teacher evenings with fear and
I mean, I'm thinking more when the teacher takes you and a parent into their office and
Yeah, it's super relatable. I love the like really naff like town history film shown by the school, like the kind of like Boards of Canada style, like the faded music and horrible quality.
Oh, and don't forget that the statue of the town founder, that's someone who was basically like everyone else who has a big statue made of them. Kind of a dick.
Yeah. So yeah, even though it's kind of got like, it's really naff trappings and stuff, it's a very mundane setting. It's actually about a really bloody history of this town founder nicknamed the Troll Slayer. And it's just got all these like great elements thrown in there. Like, and yeah, there's like really bloody dark undercurrent, which I love. And I love the little twist that like Hilda, I guess it shouldn't really be a twist knowing her character, but that her, she's a really disruptive influence at school.
Same though.
Yeah. And I love like the dialogue with Frida and David when they have to break it to her that, yes, she is genuinely a disruptive influence at school, which I thought was just really like funny and well done.
Never was Hilda so relatable as that episode.
Yeah, like my notes, I wrote down like how funny it is, how it's sad / sweet. Like, it's got a clash of like the mundane side of things with school, but also the fantasy elements like coming together. The tension.
When the troll comes looking for its baby.
Yeah, yeah. It's got this great, exciting like action plot. But also it's got like just the other little moments, like the kind of tension between the parents, which is like well done.
Yeah.
The little touches like that. And kind of how the parents interact with the children, like Frida's parents asking for like extra credit work and things like that. Whereas David's parents are just so sweet and supportive, and you can kind of see like how they've turned out the way they have. Yeah, I just thought it was a really well done episode.
And yeah, so then you have the absolute chaos when the troll shows up and the knittens get loose. We weren't going to get to the end of this without discussing the adorableness of the knittens getting loose.
It's just so, I don't know what to say about it though, except it's just so like cute and like just funny.
It's definitely cuter than when you had something like that at your school as a kid.
If they were adorable kittens, you could probably accept it a little bit more.
You'd probably be cool with them just living in your hair.
I mean, that's kind of what I love. Like, for us, we would be cool, but for them, that's just like a mundane thing they have to deal with.
And yeah, and then Hilda actually manages to resolve everything and shows that her uniqueness does help sometimes. And also the town has some really bad ideas about trolls.
And I love her mum sticking up for her too.
Yes, yes. She's such a good mother. This is the thing, sometimes If Hilda is clearly like putting herself in danger without good reason, Joanna steps in. But she will absolutely stand up for her doing stuff like and being Hilda, basically.
Yeah, for sure.
That's good parenting. She's very supportive, but also draws a line where she needs to.
Yeah. And in difficult circumstances, I think it's fair to say.
Very difficult.
So then we move on to chapter 6. And
one of my favourite episodes.
Nightmare Spirit. Oh, okay. So why is this one of your favourites then, Amy?
So this introduces one of my favourite antagonists. I love this because this episode absolutely nails it. Teenage girls are malevolent entities that feed on the fear and shame of others. I mean, they're not wrong.
Got that one nailed. Yeah.
Also introduces another favourite character in the form of Kaiser, who until season 2, everyone will simply call the hot goth librarian. And introduces the library, I believe, this episode, right?
Yeah, and I noticed this a lot more on the rewatch, like having seen season 2, like between my first and second watches. And so these little moments about I stand out a lot more with the hot goth librarian, as you say.
She's a wonderful character, and I like that we got so much more of her over time.
Yeah, she's one of my favorites. I totally agree. I mean, what I quite like with this one as well is so David's like scared nature, that kind of thing. Like it kind of like the stakes are high, but then it kind of shows like Hilda's fears as well, like in quite a nice way, I think.
But yeah, I love how, so at the outset you've got it setting up how, yeah, David is the one who is easily scared, the one who maybe these adventures are a bit too much for. And Hilda's solution to this problem is to dive headfirst into as much danger as possible, which, yeah, it's fantastic. But yeah, he's having nightmares and they're trying to figure out what's the cause. They end up down in the sewers searching for the Rat King, and that leads them right back to the teenage girl they saw at the start of the episode. The Rat Kings are brilliant. Again,
Yeah.
another example of a character they introduce who comes back later in the story is established as a part of this setting. That the Rat King is always there in the sewers, listening to secrets.
Yeah, and they give them each like interesting, not just the characters, but like interesting like mechanics, like plot enabling elements too. So the fact they trade secrets like that's a role for them.
Yeah.
And so like, oh, okay, there's a bit of like background and like story to
Yeah,
get
the Rat
into.
King's like, okay, I'll share a secret with you, the thing you want to know, but you need to share a secret with me.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we find out that that teenage girl is Amara, and the character design there is so cool. I love the way she floats around, the
Yeah.
way she turns into green smoke and floats through keyholes, and they come up with a really good plot to trap her.
I mean, yes, yeah, Alpha sitting inside the keyhole, isn't it?
And Hilda in David's bed, disguised so that Frida can get woken up by Alpha and trap her as she comes through the keyhole.
It's kind of like a classic. I mean, it's not a heist, but it's it's a plan, like it's a ploy that and so like it raises the stakes, it makes it intriguing, and also leads to the hilarious moment when Johanna like wakes up who
Realizes that
Hilda
it's
is.
not Hilda.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it must be pretty terrifying. But and then
Then, once they've trapped the Mara, they do a deal with her.
and I mean it kind of makes sense, like Hilda wouldn't be scared by the typical stuff.
Yeah, so Hilda offers to take David's place tonight, and if she can't scare Hilda, she'll leave him alone. And if she can, then she wins and gets to keep doing it.
Like, doesn't Hilda like call spiders cute in an ugly kind of way? Some kind of line like that, I remember.
Yeah, so she tries all the classic stuff and none of it's working. But then she pulls out something that does work on Hilda. And I love the reveal at the end
Yeah.
about how she got that knowledge of what Hilda was scared of. Where she's just like, yeah, you're not the only one who's friends with the Rat King.
Yeah. And it was nice. It wasn't like too random because it linked back to the Rat King. I think that was quite important for the episode to work.
So it's all resolved in the end when, yeah, Joanna shows up with David and they see what's happening to Hilda, and David steps up.
Yeah, that was really sweet, actually. That was really sweet, wasn't it?
It's a nice thing for him.
Yeah. Saying like, I can't see her go through this. Like, deal with me now. I like that.
And at that point, of course, you get the standard thing. Like, obviously, it's not fun for a bully if they're not, like, if they're willing to have it happen.
Yeah, no, for sure. A strong episode.
Very strong. I love this episode.
Now I can tell. That was part one of our Hilda season one review. Check out the next episode for the part two.